Thank you, Gigi. Good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor JP. If you are a guest with us this morning, you want to look around and see a lot of empty spaces because about 300 of our men are up at Forest Home at our men's retreat. We're having a fantastic time. I came back with a few of the guys late last night. It has been just an awesome weekend of fun and worship and relationship building, hearing from God's Word. And last night at Victory Circle, we shared the good news of salvation and gave men an opportunity to cross the line, and over 30 guys gave their lives to Jesus Christ. It's fantastic. Every year, it's just a tremendous time at our men's retreat because we have a strong value in helping people, men and women, young adults, kids, come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the core values of our church, and we believe that everybody is on a spiritual journey. Every one of us here this morning, we're on a spiritual journey, and wherever you may be, God wants to meet you right at that place and lead you to take your next step. We just came off a series, The Man, the Myth, the Legend. We were able to connect over 1,000 people into small groups. A lot of new people from the community and friends of ours have been in a study, and many of those studies are going to be continuing on. But as Gigi has shared, this week we're really launching all of our on-campus studies with men and women and Get Healthy. And I want to just give you a personal word of encouragement. If you're not connected in a smaller group, please make that step. You can use the tarot portion of your bulletin and let us know that you want to do that. That's how we really build relationships. That's why the Bible is filled with all these one another commands. We learn to experience God as we get face to face with people, and we kind of start unpacking all that's going on in our lives. And there's nothing like a small group to really facilitate that being able to happen. Next week, Big Sunday, and then the following week, we start a new series called Longings. I am excited about this series because we're going to be talking about just all the common desires that all of us have. Every person, we've got these deep longings, and the Bible says they're fulfilled in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you want to be a part of that series in a couple of weeks on longings. Today, what I want to talk about is something that I believe every one of us wants to step into. What I want to talk about is experiencing times of refreshing from the Lord. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that you are a God who refreshes us. You love us, and you want us to experience your love. You want us to experience your life. Jesus, you're the true vine, and we're the branches, and we find our source in you. That's why you have all these invitations, Jesus, to come to you and find rest, to come to you and have our thirst satisfied, to come to you and drink of your living water. Jesus, I pray for every one of us this morning that you would spiritually refresh us, that we'd experience your love and your hope and your grace and your joy. Do something in us that only you can do. Open our eyes to your reality and your promises and your resources. I pray that every person here, wherever we may have been and wherever we are in our spiritual journey, we take a next step into experiencing you and refreshment that comes from the Lord. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, context is everything. Context is everything. I've got an app on my phone. It's called Life 360, where all of our family members are connected to it. And so at any given time, you can find out where their phone might be. So if you're trying to find someone and you're not sure where they are, you go on this app and it tells you where they are. Now, what comes up immediately is an address. Now, sometimes I don't recognize the address, but you can push on the app and the address is then pinpointed on a map. And then you can enlarge the map on your phone, and now the context all of a sudden comes into place where I may not immediately recognize a specific address. Once I see on the map where that address is, I understand where my loved one is, right? See, because context determines everything. The context of what I want to share with you this morning is important. So I want to unpack the context of why I've chosen this message. Let me tell you about my last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Haiti. Dave Brodsky and I were the token males on the women's trip. We had to add a little testosterone to all the estrogen that was going into Haiti. I had the privilege of being in Haiti for a week. I think I've made 19 mission trips to Haiti. I love it. I'm going to keep going back. I'm making another trip at the end of November. Had a fantastic time. It was an amazing trip. But I brought a gift back from Haiti. I picked up a bacterial infection while I was there, when I came home, I got rather sick, and I thought it was just going to pass through me, literally. You know what I mean. But I got a fever, then I got the chills, I was hallucinating. My kids came by to kind of check on me, and they told me I was talking about writing the great Russian novel. I have no idea why that was. I was talking about writing a Russian novel, you know. So I went to the doctor and found out I had a bacterial infection and had to get on some massive antibiotics and also some very strong, industrial strength radioactive Imodium to kind of keep my... Yeah, you get the picture. Anyway, so then I didn't realize I was as sick as I was, I didn't make arrangements to have somebody else speak. So last Sunday I spoke, I was really sick. I mean, I maybe pulled it off like I wasn't, but I was not feeling very good. So what was coming up was the fact that I'd just been home a couple of days and I was going on another trip. Dave Brodsky and I, our missions pastor, elder, we were going to the island of Cyprus. I'd been invited there to come and train pastors and to speak in Cyprus. And we were leaving on Tuesday morning and I was still sick. I was taking Cipro and I was taking this Lomitol and I hadn't eaten anything. So I was weak because I hadn't eaten anything and I was weak because I was sick. But, you know, we left on Tuesday morning to go to Cyprus, and it's about a, 20-some hour just flying, and then you get the jet lag and all that. So we were worn out, and so Dave and I said, let's get a driver to take us. We don't want to drive our car and leave at the airport, so we got a service to take us, and we're leaving on Tuesday morning, and we are trying to get to the airport. We gave ourselves plenty of time, fortunately. We're in the carpool lane just north of here, close to Westminster Boulevard and the 405. And our limo driver's driving the speed limit. It's going about 65, 70 miles. It's clear in the carpool lane, but it was about 7:45 in the morning, and it's bumper-to-bumper traffic on all the lanes next to us. And as we're going, Dave and I are sitting in the back talking, and we see the traffic kind of speed up and then come to a sudden stop. And about 50 feet in front of us, there's a guy in this lane of traffic in a big truck, and when the traffic speeded up faster than what the traffic was, and then when it came to a stop, he was traveling too fast to stop in time, and he was going to rear end the car, right, and we're seeing it, he's going to rear end the car right next to him, and rather than doing that without looking, he just jerked into the carpool lane right in front of us. And so we plowed right into him at 70 miles an hour. Bam! And we were in a big Escalade. All the airbags went off. It totaled the Escalade. And then so now Dave and I just got all of the shock and the whiplash of that car crash. It created a sig alert. The highway patrol came and closed down the entire 405. If you saw that on the news, yeah, that was us right there. So we're like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I said to Dave, are you all right? And he said, yeah, but we're both kind of beat up, and neck's kind of hurting, back's kind of hurting. And I've been through this before. Some of you know this to be a reality. So I start chronicling how I'm feeling right away. I go, Dave, you should just file all this down for insurance reports and all this stuff. So we start putting all this down, and I look at him, I said, listen, this has been a crazy time already, coming back from Haiti, coming back sick, now getting into a car accident. I don't feel pressure to try to get to the airport. This may be God saying, I don't want you to go to Haiti or go to Cyprus. Or it may be the devil trying to stop us. I don't know. If we make it, if we make our flight, we make it. If we don't, we don't. You go, oh, boy, thanks for saying that. So the highway patrol comes out. They take our statements. We're stuck out there. The whole freeway is stopped. After he takes our statement, he said, you know, we are trying to get to the airport to make a flight. I don't know if we'll make it. But our driver called another car, and they had another highway patrol car drive out onto the freeway, pick us up. We get in the back of the highway patrol car. He drives us up to Westminster Boulevard, and there is the limo driver from the service from the second car. We get in it, and we drive to the airport, and they, because of our flight had to stop at JFK, and there was weather in New York, they had delayed our flights. So we made the flight. So we're sitting in the airport waiting. I go, okay, you know what? This just must be, the Lord wants us to go to Cyprus because he's got something for us, because all other types of things could have happened to stop this thing. So now we fly to JFK, we fly to London, then we fly to Cyprus. And after having been in a car accident, serious car accident, while I'm still taking Cipro and dealing with all the, you know what I'm talking about. And then, you know, and I'd forgotten how when you fly to Europe or any other place like that, you get major jet lag because you lose 10 hours. It's like 10 hours ahead. So I land and I'm like, I'm not really feeling great. That's let me put it that way. But God had an amazing experience for us in Cyprus, was able to preach the gospel and teach God's word and encourage pastors. But I find out during this time, my wife became super sick. She was sick all week. I get back from Cyprus and, you know, don't know what time zone I'm in or what country I'm in. And all of a sudden, my wife wakes me up early in the morning and said, my mom was admitted to the emergency room. So rather than getting a full night's sleep and everything, I get up and drive to the emergency room. And so my first day back from Cyprus, I'm in the emergency room with my mom because she had an infection. Fortunately, by God's grace, she's been healed and she's okay. But here's my context. Haiti, Cyprus, infection, drugs, car accident, jet lag. That's the context. While I was in Cyprus, I've told you about Minnie McFarland, just tremendous prayer warrior who has prayed and had words from God for our church and for me personally. She's the one who really has prayed and has really believes that God's taking us into a whole new season of revival and people being healed and miracles happening. Minnie and her husband Graham, they were the contact because they have retired and live in Cyprus and helping a church that's being planted there. So that was the original connection to even go there. While we're in Cyprus, twice, Minnie was praying for me and had a vision. And it was the same vision. And in her vision, Minnie said she saw clearly a waterfall with this cool water coming over, just a beautiful waterfall. And she said, I walked up to the waterfall and I put my hands in the water and it was splashing and then I was splashing it on my face. And then she said, I stepped into the waterfall with my hands open like that and the water was just cascading on me. And I turned around and my wife, Donna, walked up next to me and then the water was hitting me and then splashing on her. And then she said, behind me, she said she could see Crossline Community Church. And the water was coming onto me and then going onto the church. She said she had that vision twice, very, very clearly. And the Lord spoke to her and said, times of refreshing are coming to your life and coming to the church. And I don't flippantly share that story. And I don't generally operate on the basis of dreams and visions. I operate on the basis of the absolute authority of God's word. But God's word says that he speaks through dreams and visions. And Minnie has proven to be a woman of tremendous integrity and prayer, and God speaks to her that way. And so I take very seriously her prayers, and I receive her visions from the Lord. And I test them based upon the word of God. And immediately as she shared that with me, I thought of two passages of scripture, one from the book of Acts and one from John 7. And I'm going to unpack those and some other scriptures for us here this morning. Here's what I know. God's word talks about spiritual refreshment. Our God is a God who wants to refresh us spiritually and pour out his Holy Spirit upon us. And context means everything. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I can assume that at some point in your life, in the past, or now, or in the future, you are going to have a context kind of like I've had the last few weeks. And what you long for is times of refreshing from the Lord. Times of refreshing from the Lord. Our God wants to spiritually refresh us. And he's made provision for that through the gift of the Holy Spirit that he pours out upon us richly. Acts chapter 3 says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who's been appointed for you, even Jesus." This piece of message is part of a sermon that the Apostle Peter is preaching very soon after the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Peter preaches the word of God. Thousands of people hear the message and are saved. In Acts chapter 3, it says that Peter is walking into the temple and he sees a guy who's paralyzed, who's been there day after day after day asking for money. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk." And a miracle happens, and the guy gets up to walk. Now, everybody had seen this guy, so now a huge crowd gathers around this guy who was paralyzed, and Peter says, "Hey, listen. Don't think there's anything special about me. If you're trying to figure out how this guy is able to walk, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that he's been healed. And this Jesus I preach to you." And then Peter uses that occasion to preach the sermon. And as he gets to the close of his message, like a good preacher, he gives an invitation. And his invitation is, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord." God wants to refresh us. And this passage says that the prerequisite for refreshing is that we need to repent and turn to the Lord. It's interesting. Peter puts two similar concepts together, repent and turn to the Lord. The word repent is the Greek term metanoia. It literally means a change of mind. Meta means change, and noia is your thoughts or your mental perception. So repentance at its core is to change the way we think. Change the way we think about God. Change the way we think about ourselves. Change the way we think about our sin. Change the way we think about salvation. Change the way we think about the way we should live our lives. But it's more than just a mental change. It's a life change. And to strengthen that even more, Peter says, repent and turn to the Lord. This word turn is the Greek word epistrepho, and it means you're moving this way, and you literally turn and do a 180 and start moving this way. So Peter says, if you want to be refreshed, you got to turn to the Lord. In other words, we on our own, in our own orientation and in our own perspective, do not have all that we need to be refreshed. Spiritual refreshment, emotional refreshment, life refreshment is found only in Jesus Christ. And until we turn to the Lord, we're never going to experience it. we're never going to experience it. That's why we, up at the men's retreat, without apology, starting on the very first session, are telling men we're going to have a time at Victory Circle where we're going to call men to cross the line. We let men know that the very moment we go up on Friday night. We tell them again on Saturday morning. We tell them again on Saturday night. And then we all go up and celebrate communion together at Forest Home at Victory Circle. And again, last night we did that. Even in some, it was kind of been raining all day, and they didn't let us have any amplified instruments or anything because of the rain. And so we're all out there, and the fog had settled in, and it's misting and kind of quasi-raining, and all the guys are standing there. But as we shared with the guys, we called men to repent and turn to the Lord and cross the line. And as it happens every year, a bunch of guys said, I want what only Jesus has. And they boldly, publicly declared their faith in Christ. The only way we're going to be spiritually refreshed is if we turn to the Lord. If we turn to the Lord. Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David in Psalm 23 says that the Lord is our shepherd. He cares for us, he protects us, he provides for us, he leads us, he guides us, he refreshes us. He restores us. The Hebrew word for refreshing here is shov, which means that he brings life back to us. He restores what has been taken away, or what is dissipated, or what is drained. You know, life just has a way of sapping us and taking away our energy and depleting us. But our good shepherd, he refreshes us. Psalm 84 says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." In this psalm, David says that one day in the presence of God is better than a thousand elsewhere. Being a worshiper in God's presence is of such great value. Just experiencing that for one day is better than every other day apart from the presence of the Lord. And he says, even if we're in the valley of Baca, which is a Hebrew word for meaning weeping, even if you're in the most desperate situation, your most discouraging times, your most oppressive times, the place of greatest heartache, when you're in God's presence, it's like pools of water. The autumn rain will just fill it up. It's that spiritual refreshment, that emotional refreshment, that psychological refreshment that only God can provide. And it comes when we place ourselves in a position of being in the presence of the Lord. Circumstances may not change, but our hearts are changed because we're with God and he refreshes us. John chapter 7, this was the second verse I thought of when I received that vision from many. On the last day, the great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is one of those invitations of Jesus. He says, if you're thirsty, come, drink, and the one who believes, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, continual spiritual refreshment produced by the Holy Spirit. But you got to be thirsty. You got to be thirsty. I've shared with you many years ago, I went on a mission trip to South Africa. Pastor Greg was with me on that trip. And we were down in the Cape area, the very southern part of South Africa. And at the time, it was very soon after apartheid had ended. And in South Africa, there were the Afrikaans, who were white. There were the tribal people who were of one tribe. They were called blacks. And then there were people of mixed tribal heritage, and they were referred to as coloreds. And it didn't have any racial stigma. These weren't negative terms. They're just the terms that are used to describe people. We were in an area of mixed race people, but I spoke in a church that was of one particular race, and it was the Xhosa. They have a little click when they talk. And so we're in this church, and the pastor is translating for me, and I spoke on this passage, John 7. And I remember it because every time I came to this prerequisite of experiencing living water, of being thirsty, he would, in very dramatic fashion, in Xhosa language, talk about, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? See, the invitation to drink, to come and drink, is to thirsty people. And if you're thirsty, you come and drink. And as a believer, if you come and drink, rivers of living water are promised by Jesus and produced, he says in verse 39, by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 19 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They're more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. This psalm, Psalm 19, says God's law, his statutes, his precepts, his commands, his decrees. It's a passage talking about the word of God. It says it refreshes the soul. This book, the truths of this book, the commands of this book, the promises of this book, they refresh our souls. And they give us wisdom. And gives us joy. And gives us light to our eyes. And they're described as being precious and sweet. If we want to experience times of refreshment from the Lord, we have to treasure this book and feed upon it so that we experience that it's sweet like the honeycomb. And it gives light to our eyes and gives joy to our hearts and refreshes our souls. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says this, I was glad when Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. Paul was a person of just great relationships and connection, and here in the end of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about some of the people that he was connected with, and he mentions guys that we don't know much about, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. We don't know anything about them, except God used them to refresh Paul's spirit. God uses people life-giving people to refresh us spiritually. Paul says the same thing over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. This is a word, it's a little different word. It's anapsuko. It means to cool off or to revive or to recover breath. God used this guy, Onesiphorus, in Paul's life to bring spiritual recovery to Paul's life. One last scripture, Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. This Hebrew word, rava, to refresh here, means to water. See, there is this imagery of cool water, a waterfall, living water that brings refreshment to our lives. God is a God who wants to spiritually refresh us. There are scriptures that refer to this reality that God and God alone can bring what our souls need. And that's why Jesus referred to what he provided as living water. Over in John chapter 4, that was the offer that he gave to the woman of Samaria. He said, you come and you drink of this water and you know you're just going to get thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I will give you, it'll satisfy your thirst now, tomorrow, the next day, and for all eternity. The Lord, by his Holy Spirit, is the one who brings refreshment. God delights in and promises times of refreshing. But we can't manipulate or leverage God to give us what we want when we want it. That's his sovereign prerogative. But you know what we can do? We can place ourselves in a position to receive his refreshment. While we were up at Forest Home this weekend, because it started raining, there's a big canyon, and sometimes that canyon floods, and so they said, listen, if it rains, you need to get out of the area where the creek is, because that's going to flood. And then they gave us some designated areas to go to that were on high ground, where we would be in a position where we wouldn't be impacted by the flood. So the choice was ours. If it rained to the point where flooding, we could put ourselves in a position where we'd be swept away by the flood, or we could put ourselves in a position where we'd be in high ground and we'd be free from the flood. Spiritually, you can place yourself in a position where you can receive refreshment from the Lord, or you know what? You can place yourself in a position where you won't receive any refreshment from the Lord. What we don't have is the leverage on God to make him do something for us, because that's what we want. But what we can do is we can humbly place ourselves in a position to receive what he graciously gives. So just in the few minutes that we have left, let me quickly kind of take what I just shared in those scriptures and give you six things based on those scriptures in terms of how we can place ourselves in a position to receive refreshment from the Lord. Number one, turn to the Lord in repentance. If you want to receive refreshment, turn to the Lord in repentance. Number two, continually come to Jesus thirsty and believing. Continually come to Jesus thirsty and believing. Because Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The coming and drinking and believing are present tense verbs. So it's not just one time, not just two times, not just three times, not just once a year at a men's retreat, But daily, regularly, moment by moment, we're to be in a relationship with Jesus where we are thirsty, we're coming to him, we're drinking from him, we're believing in him. And what he promises is, out of us, our innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Continually come to Jesus thirsty and believing. Here's a third thing we can do to place ourselves in a position to receive refreshment from the Lord. Worship the Lord with singular desire. Worship the Lord with singular desire. See, that's what David said in Psalm 84. Better is one day in the presence of God than 1,000 elsewhere. Have that desire that God, my worship of God, my love for God, seeing God, being with God, that's more important than anything else. That's more than singing songs. That's more than coming to church on a regular basis. That's a heart attitude that puts priority on the living God. Being in God's presence. If our heart's desire is God more than anything else, even if we're going through the valley of Baca, he will make our life filled with pools, filled up with the autumn rains. Here's a fourth observation from Scripture. Treasure and feed upon the Word of God, because the law of the Lord, it refreshes our soul. But you have to feed upon it and read it and hide it in your heart and study it and long for it and meditate on it and do what it says. And then it'll refresh your soul. Here's a fifth observation from these Scriptures. Enjoy the friendship of life-giving people. Enjoy the friendship of life-giving people. Paul mentions the names of all of these people who brought refreshment to his soul. In fact, when you look up, if you just did a word study in a concordance of refresh, refreshing, refreshment, and looked up every time that word is mentioned in both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, you will find there are more references to being refreshed in the context of people than anything else. God uses people in our lives. He uses life-giving people. You've heard me. I've shared this many times. I'm in the people business. And when I meet people, whether it's here or in Haiti or in Cyprus or wherever I am, I mentally put them in one of two categories. They're either life-giving or life-sucking. And I just don't want to spend my life with a lot of life-sucking people. And I want to be a life-giving person, you see, because it refreshes us. That's why we are so committed here to being in small groups, to being in men's studies, to being in women's studies, to being in Get Healthy classes, because we can connect with people who refresh us. One last observation. If we want to place ourselves in a position to experience refreshing and times of refreshment from the Lord, we need to seek to refresh others. Proverbs 11:25 says, giving us practical wisdom, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah chapter 58. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not for you to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor with shelter, and when you see someone naked to clothe them, and to turn away and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then if you do this, your light will break forth like the dawn, your healing will quickly appear, your righteousness will go before you, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer, you will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing of finger, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and you seek to satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become noonday, and the Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That's a pretty good promise. But who is it for? Those who give themselves away to refresh others. I'm reminded of that story of the guy who was in the desert, lost, thirsty, desperate, and he came upon an old shack, and out in front of the shack was one of those old-fashioned pumps, and hanging on the pump was a jug, three-quarter filled with water, and a note. And the note said, "The pump is old, and you have to take the water and pour it into the pump in order to prime it. But if you'll take all of the water and pour it into the pump, you'll have as much water as you need." So here's this guy, lost, desperate, thirsty. Here's a jug of water that he could drink right then, or he could do what the note said and take the water, what little he had, but pour it out into the pump and prime the pump and trust that he would have as much water as he needed. And so he decided to trust the note, and he poured the water into the old pump and began to crank it, and sure enough, water began to flow more and more than he needed. See, if we want to be refreshed, we got to give ourselves to refresh others. Times of refreshing come from the Lord. What we can do is place ourselves in a position to receive them. Are you thirsty? Come to Jesus and drink. Let me pray for us. Father, we want the refreshment that only you can give. We want to receive everything that the Holy Spirit would pour out upon us. We want rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. We want times of refreshment to come from the Lord. And this is your good promise to us. May we come to you thirsty. Come to you and drink. May we believe and keep on coming and keep on drinking. May we place ourselves in a position to receive everything that you would pour out on us. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.